WildTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight. Who wants to walk with Elias?
Yeah. Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
Because when the hounds come down to this ring, you got two choices. You get out of our yard, or we beat your ass.
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
Are you ready?
Oh, you didn't know?
Oh, what a night, what a night, what a night, what a night. This is the Raw Post Show, presented by Gerwerk.net and Wrestling... Wait, no, by MBG Films. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211 and check out his brand new web series. That's youtube.com/MBG1211. I am Sorokin, joined as always... From the Manhattan Center. Okay, maybe not. Lindsay Ward.
No, why do I have to be at the crap location?
No, because where? Who was at the location? That location?
Everybody that I love and care about.
There you go.
That's minus Kane.
Minus Kane. But everyone else you love was at the Manhattan Center.
Yes.
The Manhattan Center, decked out in... everything old school you can possibly imagine, red, white, and blue robes. We have the really old color logo, the Ico Pro banners. They got a little bit of wrestling. Okay, I want to address that first. If you looked at the promos for the Manhattan Center and you read what you bought when you bought your ticket, you weren't guaranteed much except for legends. You got a lot of legends.
You weren't going to get the full show. The full show was going to Barclays. You had to know that when you bought your ticket. I mean, I get people were upset because I think they were expecting a lot of more of the legends to be at Manhattan Center, and you got
the biggest names.
You got the biggest names in terms of the legends, but a lot of them were actually at Barclays. But yeah, I mean, it's like basically at Manhattan Center, you got the 205 Live tour with The Undertaker and DX. And some Finn Balor thrown in for fun. That's what you got.
Too sweet.
Too sweet. Which, you know, honestly, I wouldn't be complaining at that. But I can see why they were. Because there was a lot of downtime between when they were live at the Manhattan Center and when they were at Staples.
Barclays. You got what you paid for. You came for the experience. And I'm going to explain it to you in simple mathematics for even Lindsay can understand.
Oh, screw you.
15,000 in one building, 1,000 in another. Who do you cater to most?
The 1,000, of course.
No, the 15. Get it? That's who you concern yourself with. So where do you want to start?
Oh, we need to talk about Taker. We're just going right there.
Go.
Okay, so Undertaker shows up in probably the best shape he's been in 5 years, looking like the whole damn meal. He walks out. He's got a short little walk because they put him at Manhattan Center. Still takes him 2 minutes. God bless him.
Lights were on.
Lights were on.
Like they were in 1993.
I'm totally fine with this because you got to see him. He gets in the ring. He cuts a promo. It's a very stock standard, dig grave, steal stoles, yada, 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 Taker promo. He's not challenging anyone. He's just kind of there to wave his hat and look pretty and be scary and kind of what he's done the last couple years. But what's really interesting about this promo is this is the first time The Undertaker has addressed the audience since WrestleMania last year. And again, God bless the man. None of us still know what the hell is going on with him because he walks out and he cuts this promo, right? And he says, you know, for 25 years, I've been kicking ass and taking names and stealing souls. And after 25 years, it's time for them to rest in, or they can finally rest in peace.
Hold on. I'll read you the exact quote.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. He rattled off the names of Steve Austin, Mick Foley, and even his brother Kane have had to answer to the Reaper. They all tried. They all failed. And now, on this sacred ground, which he called the sacred ground of evil, I declare for all of you, those who have fallen, it is truly time you rest in peace. In between that, they were chanting, one more match. One more match. Which kind of threw him off a second. And you could see he was frazzled by it a little bit.
Because I feel like he's like, God damn it, I'm done. Would you stop?
I was very confused by the end of this.
I think a lot of people were really confused. His status is still up in the air. It is not confirmed by WWE that he's retired. It is not confirmed by him that he's retired. It's not confirmed by anyone if he's in the Royal Rumble or not.
I think he's not in the Rumble.
I think he's not in the Rumble, but I feel like he's going to be involved in WrestleMania this year. I just don't know how. But this, I mean, I want to believe that he's done just from the way that they've been playing it up, saying that Reigns retired him, Reigns retired him. That's it. He lost last year. He's done, you know, no more, essentially. No more, that's it. That was his last match. But I feel like, at the same time, that wasn't his last match, because Taker does have a way of getting what he wants, and he wanted Cena apparently last year, and there's a rumor he may get Cena this year, so who knows? But yeah, only The Undertaker could walk out and do that. Only Taker could walk out to address his future, to tell us what's going on, and he tells us absolutely nothing. But he looks completely badass doing it.
See, how I took the promo was, he named all the people who, all the souls that he's defeated and stuff like that, and it's like, you all can rest now. I'm no longer coming after you. That's how I took it. Took it as, like, it's over. It's done. That's how I took it. And I'm very confused by it.
I feel like it's, he's not going to go after them anymore. Because those souls minus Kane are all gone. Like, all the names he rattled off, they're all retired. They've all left. So it's, okay, well, I'm not going to come after y'all anymore because you're not here. And as for Kane, been there, done that, got the t-shirt several times. Not going to worry about that anymore.
I don't know. I'm still very confused.
Yeah, it's just, it's, until it's confirmed by WWE, I'm not believing anything I see in terms of people saying he is retired, because I want it from the horse's mouth. And I feel like, you know, if this was his send-off, this was a very anticlimactic sort of send-off for him.
It felt like they didn't know where what they want to go with it. Like, they, I don't know. It felt off.
And I feel like part of that was coming from him.
Maybe he's unsure. Maybe he's doubting himself again. I don't know. But he looked in good shape.
I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's just, it's, aside from vanity, aside from because he wanted to, I don't understand why he would get in that good of a shape, because he did. He looked every bit as good, you know, as he has in 5 years. I mean, just, he was trim, and he was muscular, and dude showed up looking like the whole damn snack, and just, you know, he looked good. He looked really, really, really good. He was moving well for him, now that we saw him really move a lot. But for what we did see, he was moving okay. And it just, yeah, it's like, I don't know. And I almost want to think that that whole frazzle thing is when they were chanting one more match at him. He's like, damn it, they figured it out.
Possibly.
But I don't know. But yeah, Taker, way to go, Taker. You left us all confused. Still, well done, sir. And then he probably left and booked it over to Barclays because that's where his wife was. But he, I mean, it was an awesome segment. And what's nice is he didn't open the show. He was about 45 minutes to an hour into the show.
Yeah, he was right at the top of the second hour. He sort of, by the time he got to the ring, it was about the top of the first, second hour. So that happened. Let's talk about the running thing throughout the show. The APA office was open for business.
Made me so happy.
They were on the pre-show. They were looking for the key. They found their key and it was a poker game. Featuring them and Heath Slater and Rhino. Oh, before I continue on that one, I have one more thing about Taker, because I just saw it and I was like, oh yeah, I need to mention that. Howard Finkel introduced him, which was cool.
Yeah, that was really nice.
But yeah, so the running gag was the APA poker game. Old school poker game, beer and everything. Slater and Rhino are in there, they're playing cards, and in walks the $1 million man.
And how does he walk in? He throws a pile of hundreds on the table.
Now we got some business.
Now we got some business.
And throughout the night, we had many other celebrities, or I don't even call celebrities, past
we
number.
We had a celebrity.
A celebrity. Well, yeah. We had a variety of people throughout the night show up in this segment. We had New Day. We had Jeff Hardy. We had MVP.
Mm-hmm.
We had Titus Worldwide. Who else do we have in back there?
You said Jeff Hardy?
Jeff Hardy was there, yes, I said Jeff Hardy.
New Day.
New Day and their pancakes.
MVP.
MVP. Yeah, I said him. So that's about it.
Who was yeah.
At the card game. And the whole gag was Slater's putting up his life savings or whatever. And he was trying to win. He wins. But they found out he was cheating.
Mm-mm.
And then the winner. Oh, Natty was in there because she had a Queen of Hearts. She won with a straight flush with the Queen of Hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Then $1 million man ends up winning the whole pot, which gave us a damn at the end. That was cool.
That was cool. That was really cool. It was a nice way to work a lot of people in, get a lot of cameos out of the way. It's cool to see everybody. It's like, oh yeah, it's the APA office. I remember, you know, that with much fondness.
That was cool. Speaking of cameos, Kurt Angle had an office.
He did.
He was joined by Jonathan Coachman.
Who was a surprise.
Well, he was kind of announced. That's cool. Then it entered Harvey Whippleman and the Brooklyn Brawler.
Hey!
That was an actual, you know, it's cool that they made the fences and brought him back for the show. Then we had a tag team match player, Holla Holla.
Teddy Long. Who looked good.
Then we had Brother Love.
Who looked very red in the face.
And then the Boogeyman, who gave his worms to the coach.
I think they're engaged now.
I think so. That was one set of cameos. We then had the introduction of general managers, including People Power himself, John Laurinaitis, William Regal, Eric Bischoff.
You got a huge pop.
And special guest, SmackDown general manager, Daniel Bryan.
What I find hilarious is two of those general managers are related to each other in real life.
Yeah. Then we had the women introduction. The Bella Twins. Maurice.
Point.
Kelly Kelly. Lillian Garcia. Jacqueline. Tori Wilson. Michelle McCool. Terry Plastic Reynolds. Maria Kanellis. And of course, Trish Stratus.
Okay. I don't know who's working on Terry, but that person needs 4 stars because whoever is working on her has done a fantastic job.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say it like that, but it's like she, if you looked at her, I swear to God, she doesn't look a day over 30.
Good makeup tonight.
Very good makeup. Great job with her.
Tori looked good.
Kelly Kelly looked good. Michelle looked good.
Trish looked good.
Trish looked fantastic.
So those were those cameos.
Yes.
Let's go back to Manhattan, because Manhattan deserves some love.
Mm-hmm.
He's here.
In his sweatpants.
Bray Wyatt.
I just love that they put Bray and Taker in the same building, because you know exactly what happened today. Bray Wyatt was just following Taker around all day long, because he's the one that got away.
His opponent, Woken Matt Hardy.
Okay, this was a surprise that they did this, and they gave it away for free, but this was a good match.
It was a fine match. Nothing special. It was fine. Bray won clean in the middle.
Points.
Interesting that they went to it. Interesting that Bray won that easily. I think it's more of a tipping point. I think people are going to overthink the loss. I think it's a tipping point.
Yeah, I think it's the start of the Great War. It's a shot that's been fired, and we may have more shots fired in the Royal Rumble. We'll have to see. But yeah, I mean, it's like you start off the feud, really start the feud. You have Bray get a win, which is what they did for Finn. So building into Sunday, now Matt will respond somehow, probably in the Royal Rumble. He could eliminate Bray from the Royal Rumble, or they could eliminate each other.
Yeah, something's going going to happen. It's the start of something.
Mm-hmm.
Back in Brooklyn, Asuka, Bayley, Sasha, and Mickey had a solid match against Nia, Alicia, Sonya, and Mandy. Team Sasha won. The big thing in this matchup was after the match, Asuka decided to attack her teammates and throwing them all over the top rope.
Which was fine.
I think. This is me talking more about this Thursday on The Rack, which you need to go to WrestlingRadioAwards.com right now and vote for The Rack and Wrestling Radio Awards. WrestlingRadioAwards.com. You have until Sunday. Vote once a day. WrestlingRadioAwards.com. Get it? Got it? Cool. That this shows Asuka's probably not winning.
No.
But I could be wrong. But that's how I took that segment. Let's stick in Barclays. Peep Show.
Christian was there. He looked awesome.
Jason Jordan. Yeah, I booed a lot. He tried to get the crowd to do a "you suck" chant for his father and give him a round of applause, and it happened. The bar came out. Yeah, nothing much. They told Jason Jordan they sucked, and they started a fight. Rollins and Jordan and the bar, and Seth Rollins mistakenly caught Jason Jordan with a flying knee. Interesting.
And he didn't really look sorry for it.
No, he didn't. Charlie Caruso interviewed Alexa Bliss. The whole point of this was to get Charlotte in there, and Charlotte is very tall compared to really short Alexa Bliss.
No. It's not that everybody's really tall, it's just Alexa's really tiny.
That too. And then we got a cameo from the Nature Boy. Woo!
Okay, where did he get that bling?
It's rental bling. It's gotta be rental bling. Just saying. Also, another cameo. We have more cameos. Mark Henry.
Mm-hmm.
He found the Godfather.
Mm-hmm.
He's married.
And his wife was there. And Henry mistakenly hits on Godfather's wife.
Yeah.
Awkward.
So, we mentioned the card game. The card game led to Titus O'Neil and Apollo Crews taking on Slater and Rhino. It was a no contest. After the match, the Dudley Boys showed up. They hit their signature spots, including the What's Up or Dilly Dilly Headbutt. And
I like Dilly Dilly Headbutt. That's fun.
And then the 3D through the table.
Which was an awesome spot.
So that's what that was. We had AJ Styles, the only person at this point who realized the Rumble is this Sunday. It's a big title match against Cammy. So he brought in his own interviewer, Mean Gene Okerlund. And he started the promo with, "Well, let me tell you something, Mean Gene."
Nerd
alert. So there's that. The main event of Monday Night Raw saw Kurt Angle bring out Kane and Braun. Brock came out. Heyman says his client is not here for a fight or he's here for a fight, not a nostalgia trip. And he came out. They started the brawl. They all fought. Kane got laid out right away with an F5. Braun got recovered, went after Brock, ended up putting Brock through the announce table.
I think my favorite thing about this whole thing is people were like standing between Braun and Kane up until Brock came out, and then everybody just got out of the way, and as Braun and Brock are fighting with each other, you just see the entirety of like all the people who came out for this segment standing about midpoint by the ring watching this go down. Like, nobody's trying to stop this. They're just like, whatever, we're just gonna let this happen.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's like, we are not getting in the middle of that. Those are some smart men right there.
The biggest thing to come out of this show is we have a brand new Intercontinental Champion in The Miz.
I don't think anybody's really surprised.
No one's surprised. They had to get the belt off them. They did. The match was good. Miz is the new Intercontinental Champion.
Yay.
So, let's go back to the Manhattan Center. The crowd is restless at this point because they really haven't seen much. But they got D-Generation X. Triple H and Shawn Michaels came to the ring, glow sticks and all. Shawn's out of breath. He was asked about his favorite moments over the last 25 years, but he said he can't remember 25 minutes ago. He then started bringing up the kibasa segment and how he had a really large kibasa, but they were not allowed to talk about that. And he tried to tell another story of, you know, how they showed their asses and stuff like that, but they were not allowed to talk about that. And then Shawn said he used to be the boss of this group, but now Hunter's just the boss of everything.
And this is where I had the horrific thought of the entire future of the WWE developmental system is run by Triple H and Shawn Michaels. The two degenerates are running the developmental system. Think about that.
Shawn tried to plug the network. Fans weren't having much of that one. Hunter said it was a good cheap pop, and Shawn still has it. And then Hunter went into suck up to the fans in the Manhattan Center mode. He was winning this crowd back as best as he could, because he knows he's been back there running the show the entire night, that they're restless. And he put the fans over. He said they're the spark that started the fire that became the inferno that is WWE, and we're here because of you. He said 20 years ago, he and Michaels started something special. He said they would walk to the ring every week with Rick Rude, and China, and they would do whatever the hell they felt like doing and whatever and say whatever they wanted. Hunter said DX was always at the forefront, and they will be the driving force for the next 25 years.
I'm sorry, when he started that, you know, we were the flame that, you know, lit the fire, and all I could think of was a Star Wars quote that burned the First Order down. I'm like, wait, no, that's not right. That's not right. Okay, all right, never mind. But it fits.
It does fit. It does fit. It really does fit here.
But yeah, and at this point, Hunter says, and we didn't come alone. Oh no, because, well, you better call somebody, because the outlaws are in town.
The New Age Outlaws are in town. Oh, you didn't know. They do their shtick, then they bring out X-Pac, and the fans were chanting, 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3 for the kid. And then he said, we can't have a party without this man, the bad guy, Scott Hall.
It's that time of year to vote for the RAC and the Wrestling Radio Awards, and we need your help. We need you to go to WrestlingRadioAwards.com and vote for us. We are nominated for Show of the Year, Media Interview of the Year with Shawn Michaels.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
And Female Interview of the Year with Angelina Love.
Hey everyone, this is Angelina Love, your 6-time knockout champion and the Sacred Seductress, and you are doing the right thing because you are listening to the RAC Radio Show.
You can vote for us once a day. Just log on to WrestlingRadioAwards.com and vote for us, the RAC, in the Wrestling Radio Awards.
I hope everyone got what that was about. They cut to commercial during Scott Hall's entrance and we all went, what?
I was going to say, what the hell, dude? Never mind.
An awkward timing for a commercial, right?
Yeah, a bit.
Because that's how we thought it was.
I was like, so wait, are they done? Like, they just cut Scott Hall off? Like, that's it? Boom, there he is. Okay, bye! Because I think by that point it was 10:50, and it's like, oh, well, I guess they're going to go back over for the main segment, and that's it. No, they came back.
Scott Hall did his, hey, yo, can't have a party without the bad guy. And he said, everyone's been watching Raw for 25 years, and everyone agrees, it's just too sweet.
Which brings out
the Beller Club. They all go face to face. They all do a too sweet, interrupted by the Revival.
I think my favorite thing about this is Finn and Hunter look at each other, and it's like, Dad? Son? Like, there was just no even pretense that Finn Balor is the favorite child. Like, he is 100% the favorite son that Hunter has from NXT, and he finally got to, you know, show that to the world.
Oh, yeah. So, Dash, they had a match between the Gallows and Anderson, and the Revival lasted 2 minutes. Magic Killer. DX and the Bella Club were celebrating. Dawson spun Razor Ramon around, jawjacked him. Ramon throws the toothpick at him. We had the X Factor on Scott Dawson. We had the juking and jiving by the Road Dog. We had the Fame Answer. Then Dash Wilder gets some sweet chin music, a pedigree, and a coup de grace, which then made they all had two words for us. Suck it. Good stuff.
This was a great segment. This really, really was. It was very enjoyable. You got the entire clique out there. You got DX out there. We had a China reference in this, which was really nice. They acknowledged her part in DX and just really acknowledged her, which really doesn't happen. There are actually a couple acknowledgments that generally don't happen on the show tonight, so that was really nice. You got the Balor Club. You got the Revival. I think they just really did something to try and save the Manhattan Center, because God love them. They didn't get a lot, did they?
No, but that was a cool moment. You won't see that again.
No, you won't see that again. And that's a lot of what can be said for this show, is a lot of what we saw tonight we will probably never see again.
Speaking of which, we have one last thing to talk about.
We saved the best for last, which ironically was the opening of the show.
Stephanie McMahon and Shane McMahon came out to thunderous ovations if you watched the Raw pre-show. They came out. Stephanie did the big welcome to Monday Night Raw. Shane thanked everyone. He was there to be the spokesman. We had the opening video package that they released, which was fantastic. And then Stephanie McMahon said there's only one person left to thank. Vincent Kennedy McMahon. And the crowd sunk him to the ring, which was fantastic.
Which was amazing, at least till you get a close-up of him, and then it's like, damn, Vince, have you not slept for like 4 days?
Probably not. He's in XFL mode. Oops. Hey, never mind. Vince said it's truly been amazing for 25 years. Fans start doing thank you, Vince. He told him not to do it. Stephanie said she knew Vince was a little hard of hearing, but they were thankful. Stephanie was taking some shots.
They were all taking shots.
Including himself. He said he was going to smell roses for once. Not for long, but for once. Vince was going to leave, but Stephanie's like, no, stop a second. We got you a gift. This gift is from everyone around the world. They started a GoFundMe for Vince McMahon's present. A commemorative plaque for 25 years in a row. Vince goes, it's a plaque? Starts looking at it. Feels a little cheap, but then again, we are here in Brooklyn. Vince goes heel.
Mr. McMahon's back!
Vince said the plaque is what the fans have on their teeth. He said the plaque is clogging their arteries because of all the Nathan's hot dogs they're eating. Vince said everyone has been thanking him, but he said there's one person to thank in the entire world, and it wasn't his family or the production truck. The fans go, asshole. He didn't eat anyone but himself. There's not one person in the world that would have ever helped me. Q, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Austin, middle fingers in hand, came down to the ring. Vince was like, don't encourage him. Vince said it's been a long time since he and Stone Cold have been in the same ring together. Things have changed. Austin looks great, but Mother Nature has not been too kind to me, he said. He says he's a member of AARP now. He's a heart murmur and arthritis. He lives in a retirement community. He goes, I'm now a senior citizen. Vince said, Shane, though, he's in his prime.
Shane's like, wait, what?
Austin then looks over at Shane, shakes his hand, and drops him with a stunner. The quote Vince says is, I don't blame you. He had it coming. Vince pulled out a couple beers, said it was for old times. They toasted. Vince took a sip. Austin hugged him. Vince looked at the beer. It spilled on his jacket, but then they hugged again. And then Austin dropped him with a stone cold stunner as Vince was trying to walk away. Austin didn't have to say a word, and the chemistry was there.
Oh, all the old magic is there. You've got Austin and Vince with Shane kind of in the background doing what Shane does best. I mean, it was just the magic was instantly there again. It felt like an old school Raw because, you know, the crowd's chanting profanities. Austin's throwing up middle fingers and drinking beers. Vince is flopping on the mat. I mean, this was just everything you wanted and more. And my favorite thing is when Vince is posing with Austin before he stuns him, Vince is standing there with his hands up in the air with a beer can pointed down, deliberately pouring beer on Shane.
Yep.
That was my favorite thing ever.
Shane got up, toasted Austin, got put down with another stone cold stunner like it's 1998 all over again.
Yeah. And the great thing was, they start chanting one more time. And Vince is like, I don't think Shane can take another one. It's like, we're not talking about Shane, Vince.
I'm not talking about Shane. No.
Good try.
So that was Raw 25.
This was a really, really, really good show. They had a little trouble with the two locations. I think it was a really, really good idea in theory. It was kind of okay with practice, but, you know, I think it would have been completely fine if they had contained everything to Barclays, or if they had pre-filmed some stuff at Manhattan Center and then aired it. Because, you know, I do kind of feel for the fans that were there that, you know, just were basically sitting there watching Monday Night Raw. Like, you paid $200 for front row seats and you're sitting there watching Monday Night Raw on a TV. So I can, like, feel, I can empathize with that a little bit, but you also knew what you were getting into, so you take what you can get. But I loved how they did all the cameos. I loved how they got everybody on the show from the past and from the present. It was just overall, it was really well done. Super enjoyable show from top to bottom.
I wanted something memorable. Got that. Oh, hold on. I forgot one more segment.
What did we forget?
Oh, I forgot two segments, actually. Now I remember it. It's time to walk with Elias. Because I remembered someone. So Elias is walking backstage and he gets interrupted by
Chris Jericho. In his Omega Jericho shirt.
The Alpha Omega shirt, yeah. So, yeah. That happened. He put him on the list.
For the scarves.
He then, Elias came down and sung a song. We had Jimmy Fallon. He sung some more. He was interrupted by John Cena. They fought. John Cena got laid out with a guitar and then left laying by the drifter, Elias.
Which was pretty good.
That was the shocking moment I didn't see coming. I figured Cena would go over on him. which means Cena eliminates him in the Rumble. But still, it was fun. So, that was the shocking moment. The only thing we didn't get, we got, and I also said, I wanted to see interaction between legends, we got that, and current crop, we got that. The only thing we didn't get, from my perspective, was women talking about the Rumble, but that's about it.
That's okay.
Tomorrow night is twitch.tv/RackRadioShow. WTR Sims presents Top Rope Royale Part 2. Who is going to WTR Mania 2? Find out tomorrow night, twitch.tv/RackRadioShow at 11:15 p.m. Eastern. Thursday, though. See you, Rack.
That's right. And in case you missed the awkward commercial earlier, The Rack is nominated for several awards, including Show of the Year, Media Interview of the Year with Shawn Michaels, and Female Interview of the Year with Angelina Love. So please go over to WrestlingRadioAwards.com and vote for us. You can vote once a day, midnight to midnight. And yes, you can vote multiple times if you have multiple ISPs, but you didn't hear that from me, so you know you can like vote at work or and vote at home if you work outside your house. So again, didn't hear that from me, but that's totally a thing. WrestlingRadioAwards.com, you can go vote for us. But Thursday, it's The Rack. We're going to be previewing the Royal Rumble. We're going to be previewing TakeOver. We may or may not have an analyst. We may or may not have the assistant to the assistant to the intern of the analyst on the show, but we are going to have a ton of news that we have to talk about because crap happened today. Of course, crap happened today that we have to discuss. So
how
it's The Rack.
Doing?
Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. We're here on WildTalkRadio.com.
How you doing?
Really?
Same. That's what we have to talk about.
I know.
Rack Radio Show and all the social media platforms, including Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and et cetera, et cetera. Saturday night, midnight-ish. It's CBU Radio. We're doing The Greater and Great, The Porn Stars, presented by Pornhub.com. Sunday night, WrestleTalk Radio, 11 p.m.-ish Eastern, right after the Royal Rumble at WTR Sunday night on Facebook and the Twitter. We'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show, all the fallout of the Royal Rumble, live right here on the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern, at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, and WrestlingRadioAwards.com, both for us daily.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LANSWARD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters.
Thanks to Gerwick.net and MBG Film, youtube.com/MBG1211 for his brand new web series. So for Lindsay, I'm Rock. We'll see you Thursday for The Rack and right back here for the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern, streaming live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And on TuneIn Radio, search Wild Talk Radio Network. And on Periscope, on our Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio. We'll see you Thursday, and all week long, along the airways at Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com.
WildTalkRadio.com.